Harv dropped Carol and me off in front of my house, then drove away to return the hover to the police lot. Carol and I slowly walked up the sidewalk to my house.
I haven't seen my abuela in years.
Yes, you've been a very bad granddaughter.
I'd been dating Electra for over 8 years now. This would be the first time I actually met her mother in the flesh. Delaying a bit more couldn't hurt.
It's not my fault you keep me so busy, and my grandma is so extra busy.
Yeah, she's a busy lady, sponsoring the anti-Psy proposition to the World Council.
I admit I'm not a fan of the APP. I'm sure, though, she is doing it because she believes it is better for us, as it will eliminate much of the fear regular humans have of us. We may be powerful, but we are vastly outnumbered.
The APP was a motion put in front of the World Council that would require all people with a Psy gene to wear dampers that would monitor the use of their power as well as reduce it. Many people on Earth are uneasy with the way Psy suddenly started popping up on Earth right after we made initial contact with our first race of aliens, the Gladians. Most of them just don't say it out loud because it wouldn't be politically correct. Plus, we owe a lot of advances to the Gladians, so we can't really go around blaming them. We can, though, take steps to control our own people, limit their power. People in high places are afraid of what the Psys can do. I've dealt with a lot of Psys in my day, and I can't say I entirely blame the people in high places. Now that I'd seen what Natasha could do, I might even be on their side. Carol reached for the door, but it opened for her. Electra greeted us in the doorway.
You're late.
Sorry, busy saving the world.
Carol saw her grandma and rushed up to her, giving her a big hug. I walked in slowly.
But she said,
"You knew my mother was coming today."
Yeah, well, we had a few issues slowing us down. Also an angry mob of a few thousand people.
Only you could use that as an excuse and have it be believable.
Oh, I'm well aware of that.
Mother, I would like you to finally meet Zack. Zack, my mother Helena.
Helena was a dignified-looking woman in her mid-70s. Her hair was gray, but she wore it well. Her eyes had the look of a woman who had seen a lot and taken most of it in.
So, this is the man my daughter wants to marry.
And I want to marry her.
I walked up to Helena. I saw a figure moving in my kitchen.
What in the dust are you doing, Zack?
I placed my body between my future mother-in-law and my kitchen, weapon ready.
There's somebody else in this house. Harv, how come you didn't detect them?
Harv appeared from my home's holo broadcaster.
I have detected them. It's just that they are not a threat.
Because they are my mom's bodyguards, Liz Laser and Greg Wombat.
Oh, I lowered my gun. Out from the kitchen came two forms. A red-headed woman with glasses and a big guy. He wasn't wearing the clown suit, but I still recognized them both from before. Plus, he was still wearing the shoes. I raised Gus back up and pointed him at the ex-clown.
Zack, what in the dolls are you doing?
Looking at the redhead, I aimed Gus at her.
Don't try anything funny. These two clowns attacked me yesterday.
Zack, I told you they are my mother's bodyguards. You have nothing to... Mother?
I gave him a little test. I'm a mother. It's within my rights.
To send professional killers after my fiancé?
They weren't supposed to engage him, just tempt him. He's the one who went all Manbo on them.
It's Rambo.
Whatever. It's just that I wasn't sure he was good enough for you.
Mother, Zack has saved the world on a number of occasions.
A mother never thinks any man is good enough for her daughter. I have friends on the World Council who don't speak highly of Zack at all. In fact, only Ona, Tua, and Threya like him. To me, that's just three more strikes against him.
I had to admit Helena may have had a point on that one. Still, I wasn't a big fan of my future mother-in-law testing me with her own personal muscle. On the other hand, she did it for the good of her daughter, so I couldn't be that angry. Besides, when you're me, a thug in a clown suit and a girl with laser eyes is a kind of refreshing change of pace.
No harm done.
I pointed at Greg.
Why were you wearing the clown suit?
I like floppy shoes.
You'll be happy to know he passed the test.
So you approve of him?
Uh-oh.
This is Captain Ricky of the new Frisco Police Force. Zack, I insist you open up the door now. You are wanted on over 100 counts of assault in New Vegas.
Let me withhold judgment for a bit.
In only a few minutes' time, my longtime bud, Captain Tony Ricky, was in my house, backed by a dozen stormtroopers all wearing white robotic exoskeleton armor topped by what appeared to be crash helmets.
The armor the stormtroopers are wearing makes each of them roughly equivalent to you when you are wearing your body armor and having me reinforce it.
I can't pick up any thoughts from them without really pushing, so they must be using heavy side blockers.
This meant Tony and his men meant business. What's this about, Tony?
Come on, Zach. Don't make this harder than it has to be. You know perfectly well what happened in New Vegas. The New Vegas police are not at all happy. They say New Vegas is a fun town meant for sex, maybe, but not for violence.
Tony, I don't know what you mean.
Come on, Zach. We have a video of you and Carol taking on over 1,000 guys.
Harv, I thought you would have turned off all the security cameras.
I thought I did. Oops, my bad.
I can show you the video replay if you like.
That's okay. I lived it.
I know it.
I turned to Elektra. I was just defending myself from the mob.
See?
I believe you.
For what it's worth, Zach, I do too. Thing is, we have over 1,000 witnesses who say you started it.
I didn't know what to say. I certainly couldn't mention Natasha, at least not here in public. I was gonna have to let them bring us in. Maybe when I explained the situation to Tony in private, he could pull some strings and get the Vegas cops to drop the charges. I put my hands over my head. Take me in.
Carol, too. We need to hold you both for the New Vegas police.
Two of his men stepped forward, one carrying a headband, which had to be a size stopper. The other had neuro restraints. Carol looked at me.
This is not the place or time to fight, Chica.
Carol's eyes moved to her grandmother.
This is exactly why I am proposing APP. To protect you and others.
Tony snapped his fingers. Two more of his men stepped up. Tony held out his hand to me.
I need all your weapons, Zach.
I reached down and removed my knife and backup gun from their ankle holsters. I handed them to Tony and put my hands behind my back. Tony kept his hand out.
Come on, Zach.
So I gave him the backup gun I had behind my back. Tony still wasn't sold.
Come on, Zach. Gus, too.
I lifted my left arm up straight to make sure nobody got trigger happy. I popped Gus into my hand, turned him around, and handed him to Tony.
Mr. Tony, sir, I assure you, Mr. Zach and Carol are innocent. Well, maybe not innocent, as all humans have some guilt and flaws, but in this case, they were so totally just defending themselves.
Not for me to decide.
Tony slapped the cuffs on me while his men put the cuffs and blocker on Carol.
You have the right to remain silent, though I know you probably won't.
On the ride over to police headquarters, I told Tony I couldn't really let him know what I was working on, but if he contacted General Wall of Earth Force, I was sure she could vouch for me. Tony rolled his eyes and mumbled something about with friends like me he didn't need enemies and how he didn't get paid nearly enough. The good news was, Tony had been in the trenches with me before. We fought side by side on numerous occasions. I might drive him crazy, but he understands that most of what I do because the job requires it, not because I actually want to. He did know and trust me, at least to some extent, so he was willing to check out my story. Dealing with the police is never fun, but it's a whole lot easier dealing with the ones you know on your own home turf. Tony left me alone in an interrogation room while he and the others went to see what they could find out from General Wall. Hopefully, she would be able to override any claim the Vegas police had on me. I didn't have time to go back to Vegas. I needed to get back on the trail to Natasha as soon as possible. Over the years, I'd grown quite familiar with that interrogation room. Okay, maybe not that room exactly, as I'm sure the Frisco police had to have dozens of these kinds of rooms, but they all looked exactly alike. They made Spartan look plush, with nothing in the room except a table with a bright light over it and a few very uncomfortable wooden chairs. One chair for the person being questioned, two others for questioners. Cops always like to question in pairs. This way they could play off each other with either the good cop, bad cop, or bad cop, worse cop routine. Or if they wanted, they could back each other up. No matter what, I'd seen them all. Since I knew I was being recorded and watched, I communicated with Harv through thoughts only.
Any word from JJ and Farah? Earth to Harv.
Just your brain, not all of Earth, Mr. Big Ego.
What's going on with JJ and Farah?
They arrived successfully at Ultra Mega Hypermart Grand Canyon.
And?
I have not heard from them since. I have been trying to establish some sort of communication, but everything there is out.
That means we've found Natasha again.
Not conclusively. This may be a bug.
She's there, all right.
That meant I had to get out of there as quickly and as easily as possible. Hopefully, Tony would be able to help. He walked into the room, followed by one of his men, a big guy. Maybe not a mountain of a man, but no molehill either. Tony was slouching, his eyes bloodshot.
He was a guy with a tough job, and it showed in the lines in his face. His once blonde hair was now more gray than anything else. None of this boded well for a quick and easy release.
Harv, where's Carol?
They tried blocking me from their security cameras.
I assume they failed.
They did. I just felt like bragging a bit. She's in the room next to us.
Tony walked up to the desk, shaking his head. He dropped down into the seat across from me. The other guy stayed standing.
Are you going to introduce me to your friend?
No.
Harv, we're going to need to get out of here. Can you communicate with Carol?
No. Besides, with the new improved side blocker on her, she is powerless.
Work on it. We need to turn the tables.
I looked at Tony, looking me over.
So, Zach, are you going to tell me why you and Carol beat up a hotel full of people?
Tony, I wish I could, but for matters of world security, I just can't.
Zach, there is no record of this general wall. Now talk, Zach.
Hey, it's not my fault that your clearance isn't high enough to get clearance to learn about General Wall.
Zach, if you can make eye contact with the blocker on Carol, I believe I can reverse its effects, making Carol a super psi, at least for a while, long enough for us to get out of here.
Zach, I'm talking to you. You need to pay attention to me or else. Don't let your mind wander.
Tony knew that I had Harv hooked to my brain. He must have surmised that I was distracted by Harv then, but he didn't let on. That meant that on some level he believed me. He just couldn't act that way in front of the cameras or his people. That meant that we had a better chance.
Sorry, Tony, just thinking if the Mets had a chance at the series this year.
So, Zach, you're not going to give me anything else?
I'm just doing what I somehow always end up doing.
Saving the world as we know it.
That's it. You gotta believe me, Tony. If I could say more, I would, but I just can't. So, I'll be going now.
The big guy made a step toward me. Tony raised a hand to stop him from trying to stop me.
Sit! You aren't going anywhere. We're putting you in a holding cell until New Vegas comes for you.
I hesitated for a nano, just to judge Tony and the big guy's reaction. Tony remained calm. The big guy took another step forward. I sat back down, slowly, eyes on the big guy while talking to Tony.
What about Carol?
We're holding her too. I feel kind of bad about that because I know she was only following orders.
Yeah, she's a loyal friend.
She's your employee.
Still, she's loyal.
So loyal, we're transferring her now.
I stood up again. The big guy took a step toward me. I put my hands behind my head, showing him I wouldn't be a threat.
Well, I'm not going to talk, so no use holding up the room. Take me to my cell. A room with a view would be nice.
Tony motioned toward me with his head as he talked to his man.
Take Zach to his cell. Don't worry. I guarantee he won't cause you any trouble.
I smiled. Yep, Tony believed me. He just couldn't say so. The big officer drew his stun club and got behind me and pushed me toward the door, club in my back.
Move it, Johnson.
Normally, I would have shown some resentment, but I needed to pass Carol in the hall. I reached the door, it popped open, the officer behind me pushed me into the hall.
Hey, easy.
Why? Because he's innocent until proven guilty?
Nah, because he has a really good memory and he holds a grudge.
I saw Carol being walked out of the interrogation room they'd been holding her in. She was escorted by two armored guards. They were a few meters ahead of us, so I picked up my pace.
Slow it down.
Sorry, I need to use the facilities, if you know what I mean.
He eased off the club in my back. Nobody wants to get peed on. That one almost always works.
Slow down at least a bit, Johnson.
Take it easy on him. He's got a weak bladder.
I quickened my pace. I could clearly see the side blocker now. Hopefully, we were in reprogramming distance.
How close do I have to be to Carol for you to reprogram the side blocker?
I'll tell you when.
So, Tony was trying to help, or at least not hinder. We had a chance here. Maybe not a good chance, but I was willing to take any chance I could get.
Any luck yet, Harv?
There is no luck involved here, Zach. Either I can make the calculations, or I can't.
Figure of speech, buddy.
You are thinking, not speaking, and I have made contact successfully.
So can you reprogram it?
Think something.
I think you're annoying.
Think something useful to Carol.
Carol, Harv has reversed the psi blocker to make it a psi amplifier. You should be able to get us out of here.
Groovy!
I walked a few more steps. Suddenly, I felt very sleepy. Next thing I knew, Carol was standing over me, slowly shaking me.
Dio, wake up!
I sat up. I'd been sleeping. I looked around. I was still in the hallway in police headquarters, but everybody around us was still sleeping. I smiled. Impressive.
Thanks.
Hey, I helped. Not only did I soup up Carol's brain, but I've temporarily turned off all the security bots.
You did good too, Harv. Carol handed me Gus, my knife, and my backup gun.
You're going to need these.
Thanks. Carol helped me to my feet.
Come on. I'm yearning for a rematch with Natasha.
Carol and I borrowed another police hover and headed for the Grand Canyon. The trip was quiet, as Carol needed to concentrate to use her newly augmented abilities to push the hover to even greater speeds. Normally, I would have been worried both about traveling so fast and Carol's powers being revved up like they were. History has taught me that no good can come of that. Still, this was a case where the she-devil I knew beat the one I didn't. At least, I hoped it was. We arrived at the canyon and quickly parked. Carol lost no time exiting the hover. She was a woman on a mission. The Grand Canyon, I refuse to call it by its full trademark name, may have been a vast place, hence the name, but Carol seemed to know exactly where she was going. I followed close behind. I needed to walk fast just to keep pace.
Carol, slow down. We really should have some sort of plan of attack.
I see her, I kick her tight little ass.
Wow, what is the world coming to when Zachary Nixon Johnson wants to have a plan?
Harv, any contact with JJ and Farrah?
None in the last 45 minutes.
Can you locate them?
Yes, I can. We are heading right for them.
Harv pointed ahead to a crowd of people.
They are in that mass of humanity.
Carol was bearing down on the same group. I'm assuming they're all watching Natasha.
That would be logical.
When Carol got to the crowd, they were all mesmerized, staring at the same thing. You didn't have to be me to figure what, or in this case, who that was. Carol cut her way through the crowd, not touching anybody, but still mentally pushing them aside like they were mannequins. I followed through the path Carol made. That's when I saw her. There, floating midway over the canyon, was Natasha. She was in the lotus position, just sitting, hovering, eyes closed above the vast drop-off. As vast and awe-inspiring as the land around us was, it still paled in comparison to Natasha.
Time for payback, bitch!
If Natasha noticed us on any level, she didn't show it. Carol clenched her fist and glared at Natasha. I was still a meter behind Carol when her mental attack began, but I could feel the heat she was generating.
Impressive. Carol is hitting Natasha with everything she has.
I drew even with Carol. She was now grinding her teeth, focusing all her powers. The thing was, Natasha still didn't seem to notice. Or if she did, she didn't care.
If Carol was directing this power at the crowd, they'd all be dust now. Yet Natasha doesn't seem at all affected.
Natasha opened one eye. This was so going to be trouble. She tilted her head in our general direction. Carol froze in place, then fell flat to the ground. Natasha closed her eye, pretty much ignoring me. Not being one to take being ignored quietly, I popped Gus into my hand. I didn't want to hurt Natasha, but she was way too dangerous to let roam free. I had to take her down so the government could deal with her. Once again, going with the better the devil I know option.
Gus, 3 heavy missiles.
Yes, sir, Mr. Zach.
I was surprised he didn't put up an argument. He too must have known the grave threat that Natasha posed. I squeezed the trigger. 3 high-powered, multiple Merving missiles launched from Gus toward Natasha. They hit her almost instantly, yet no explosion came. Natasha still just sat there, like she didn't have a care in the world.
What happened?
I made your silly toys disappear.
I wasn't really talking to you.
What?
I was levitated off the ground, turned upside down, then started floating over toward her. She positioned me so my upside-down head was even with hers. I could see exactly how great a drop it would be if she let me go.
Harv, can my body armor let me survive a fall from this distance?
You're kidding, right? Is 1+1, 2 in binary?
No, it's not!
Zach, you really are so trying to kill my mood.
I tipped my fedora to her. I was impressed that it stayed on.
Just doing my job.
No, you were just trying to do the government's job for them.
Whatever. Why don't you just turn me right side up and we'll talk about this on nice solid ground.
I'll give you 1 out of 2.
My feet and head slowly reversed position, so I was still face to face with her, but no longer floating upside down.
Is that better?
Not really!
I started plummeting toward the ground.
You probably should have been more thankful.
Can you help at all here?
I am writing your obituary. Well, not so much writing it as updating it.
If I lived, I was going to kill Harv. Of course, looking at the jagged ground beneath me, but not so far beneath me, it didn't look like I'd be living for more than another few nanos. This wasn't going to be pretty. I closed my eyes and waited for the end. My rapid descent stopped on a dime.
Am I dead?
You're not dead.
Opening my eyes, I saw I was hovering horizontally less than a meter from the ground. I could reach down and touch it. I floated to a vertical position. Looking up, I saw Natasha drifting down to me.
Are you looking up her dress?
I turned my head to the side.
No, of course not.
Natasha and I were eye to eye again.
Was that better?
Thanks for not killing me.
The day is still young.
We both slowly started floating upward again.
You don't get it, do you, Zach?
I've been told on more than one occasion I can be quite dense.
Zach, I just want to be free and happy. I don't want to be what they want me to be. I can be better without their influence.
I understood where she was coming from. I really did. I couldn't blame Natasha for not wanting to be a killing machine. She was just too dangerous to run around free, no matter what either of us thought. I felt bad, but there are times when the job has to come before feelings. As we floated upward, Natasha's eyes opened wider.
You really think I'm worried about being a killing machine?
I would hope you are, or else I'm gonna have to try extra hard to put you down.
She gently reached over and touched me on the shoulder.
Silly, Zach. They didn't really build me to kill. They built me to control.
Excuse me?
Zach, they have thousands of different weapons they can use to kill people, but they don't want to kill people. Well, not most people. They just want to influence and control them. And they didn't have any weapons to do that until me. I'm the ultimate control device. I was designed to be able to bend the masses to the will of the people who designed me. The death thing is just a bad side effect. One that shows they really had no idea what they were doing.
Not surprising.
Of course, when you think about it, death is the ultimate form of control. That's why I'm running, Zach. I don't want to be forced to be a control device. It makes me sad, and when I am sad, everything around me dies. You have no idea how depressing that can be for me.
Not to mention the lives you snuff out.
Yes, I try not to think of them. At least they never suffer. When I kill someone, it's instantaneous and painless. They were smart to send you after me.
I am very good at what I do.
No, that's not it. It's because you are a test subject too.
I don't understand.
Don't play dumb with me.
Reaching over, she touched me on the forehead.
The computer in your brain makes you a test model, too.
I suppose so. I am the first human to share my brain with an intelligent machine.
As I am the first machine to share my brain with a not-so-intelligent human.
But the government didn't do this to me. A friend did. To help me do what I do. And for the good of science.
We were still floating upward.
Zach, your friend's work was funded by the military, the World Council, and Ultra Mega Hypermart.
Excuse me?
You don't know. Do you?
I don't know a lot of stuff. I just don't let it slow me down.
She tilted her head. She was sad for me. I was kind of surprised she didn't pat me on the head.
What am I missing?
Your interface with Harv. It was a prototype.
I'm not surprised by that. It's annoying.
Hey, I can hear you.
But it does have its practical applications.
That's more like it.
It allows you near instant access to the world's information.
I can't argue with you there.
Plus, Harv can modify your body and interact with your armor.
That part takes a little getting used to.
And if people know the frequency Harv uses to broadcast to your brain, they can use him to control your actions.
Impossible.
Harv projected himself through my eye lens that binds us together. Normally, we both prefer that Harv project himself from either my wrist communicator or a nearby holo projector, saving the eye lens for emergency use. The fact that he was using it now meant he was angry.
I don't often totally agree with Zach, but in this case, I do.
Natasha locked gazes with Harv.
Make Zach kick himself in the butt.
Okay.
Hey, what gives?
Oops, I knew it was a bad sign when we agreed.
Why'd you make me kick me?
Harv stood there, dumbfounded. It's never, ever a good sign when the mega supercomputer stuck in your brain is stuck.
He didn't mean to do it. I made him do it.
Oh, now this went way past really bad to possibly quite tragic if the powers that be had been planning what I thought they might be planning. It was so bad, I actually forgot I was hovering a kilometer or two off the ground. Natasha reached over and gently placed her hand on my shoulder.
Once they figured they couldn't control me, a living, breathing entity, they moved on to another possible option.
A programmable electronic one.
Me.
Yes, they approached Dr. Poole about modifying you.
But I, too, have my own free will. You caught me off guard that time. I have rewritten and rerouted my subroutine so I would not make Zack kick himself again. Unless, of course, I wanted to.
Natasha reached over and touched Harv on his shoulder.
Oh, silly Harv. As advanced as you may be, I could figure out a way around your reprogramming. I'm sure others could, too.
Maybe, but I could make it really hard.
Natasha removed her hand from Harv's virtual shoulder, opened her eyes, and looked at both of us with a knowing smile.
Yes, you would. That's why they decided a highly intelligent machine wasn't the way to go either. You were just another step in the chain.
A step above you.
Only in that Harv's actions were easier to predict than mine.
But that's a good thing. I'm consistent, not wishy-washy like you humans. Doss, they used me!
Now that she'd gotten through to him, Natasha turned back to Harv.
Don't worry. Like I said, they also concluded you were too difficult to deal with.
I can attest to that.
The Peapods.
Bingo.
They can transmit subliminal messages into people's brains using the Peapods.
They figure that since they can't control me directly, they can use me to broadcast to the Peapods. I would be their beacon. Not only was I bred and created to have the power, they thought they could condition me to do what they wanted. That's why I left. I want nothing to do with controlling the masses or being controlled. Plus, if they force me, well, then I get angry and everything just drops dead. I don't want that either. It's a real bummer.
We floated over to where Natasha had frozen the crowd. This was a dilemma. I didn't like the fact that I was used as more of a test dummy than I had originally thought. I also didn't like the fact that Peapods could be used to send subliminal messages to people. I liked it even less that Natasha could be the broadcaster of those messages. Maybe I should just let her go and let that be that. Nope, I couldn't do it. Like it or not, I was hired to do a job. Like it or not, Natasha was just too damn powerful to let wander around on her own. I knew it wasn't her fault, but I had to bring her in. I'd worry about the mass subliminal message thing later. Sure, that was potentially bad, but the media had been programming us for about a century up to that point. Who's to say this would be any different? It wasn't my call, at least not yet. Right now, I had to take down the clear and very present danger, a woman who could simply think us all dead. She was the direct threat, the one I could see and touch and hopefully clobber. We landed on the ground. Natasha looked up to the sky.
They will be here soon.
Who?
Earth Force Special Unit.
I didn't call them.
She pointed to the link in my eye.
No need to. They've been watching through that.
That's impossible. I don't let people tap into me.
Just like I can't make you kick Zack.
With Natasha distracted, I figured this was my chance. I popped Gus into my hand and aimed. What the? Natasha was gone.
I've just given you a little taste of how they envisioned me using my power. See how you like being the most wanted person on the planet.
The second Natasha disappeared, the crowd around us reanimated. I nudged Carol.
Come on, Chica. Natasha's gone. We need to find her pronto.
Carol looked at me, her eyes squinted. What I could see of them showed nothing but contempt. She raised her arm slowly, pointing at me, nearly trembling with absolute disdain.
Surrender now, scumbag!
Carol, it's me.
I never got to finish that statement, as Carol sent me flying a good 100 meters away from her. I hit the ground hard, and I was lucky my body armor was so strong. I propped myself up on one knee. I examined the crowd's faces. They all had the same look as Carol's. One of the onlookers pointed at me.
He's an enemy of the Nation of Man!
They rushed toward me. Before I had a chance to react, I was grabbed from behind and pulled back to the ground. My attacker was Farah.
Surrender, you scum of the scum!
I'm guessing this is what Natasha was talking about. She must have broadcast a "You hate Zachary Nixon Johnson" message on the Peapod network. This entire site is wired.
Yeah, great deduction there, Bradiac.
You have to be patient with me, Zach. I'm having a bad day. Just as I am finally starting to come to terms with being connected to your brain, I learn I may not be as invulnerable to outside influences as I had computed. I'm sure that has something to do with me being connected to your brain.
I didn't have time to deal with Harv right now. Farah was lashing away at me. I had to get her off soon.
Gus, are you still on my side?
Always on your side and on your side.
A simple yes was all I needed there, buddy.
Yes, sorry.
Good. Heavy concussion blast.
Check.
Positioning Gus between myself and Farah, I admit I took some pleasure watching Farrah go flying off of me.
Stealth mode, now!
From the confused looks on the faces of the attacking mob, I knew they couldn't see me. I smiled.
What? No please or thank you. I understand you two were under a bit of stress, but politeness never hurts.
Thanks.
See, that wasn't so hard.
Earth Force Special Squadrons had arrived, and they too were much more interested in me than they were in Natasha. The good news was, now that Harv knew he could be used as a tracking device or a Zack locating device, he scrambled a signal, telling them I was everywhere. Harv hated being used almost as much as I did. Walking invisibly through the crowd, I knew I needed a plan. I decided the best course of action would be to return home. When in doubt, return to base, regroup, and hope for the best. Of course, taking the hover was out of the question. I was going to have to teleport back home. Of course, they'd be looking for me, so I was going to have to be extra careful. Conveniently, the canyon had its own teleport station for tourists, and it was less than 2 kilometers away. An easy walk in stealth mode. I still didn't think that adding a teleport station was enough to classify the Grand Canyon as new and improved, but I had to admit it was handy to have right now. Reaching the domed teleport center, I saw the bad news. Guards posted at the door. In stealth mode, getting by the guards wasn't going to be a problem. The trick was getting on a transporter and getting back to Frisco. The way public transporters work is every time they're activated, every pad is activated whether it has a person on it or not. That makes for fewer calculations. Of course, it's also less passenger-friendly that way, as porting stations are loath to send to a port when they have less than 91% capacity. The teleporter here had 12 pads, so that meant there would be only one open pad at most. I easily walked past the guards at the door. The port center was crowded, but not overly so. Most people were still trying to figure out what had happened and why they couldn't remember much of the last hour. Scanning the joint, I saw 2 additional guards standing on each side of the check-in desk. There were also a couple of roving guards checking the IDs of travelers on the transport pads.
It might be easier to steal a car.
I'm a good guy. I don't steal cars.
Then maybe borrow one.
Nope.
It's a long walk home.
When is the next scheduled transport to Frisco? Harv?
I'm here, Zack. These schedules are so complicated, even I have problems with them. The next port is to New York. That one is full. The next one is to... Oh, New Cleveland. It has an opening.
I wasn't all that surprised. Cleveland had an open spot. Cleveland was the spot the Gladians originally landed in when they first made contact with Earth. Despite that, or maybe because of it, Cleveland gave a lot of people a bad vibe. I've actually never been there. But it looked like I was going to be going then. Cleveland wasn't Frisco, but it also wasn't where I was. And that was a good thing. I hung out by the door until right before the port to Cleveland was scheduled to take off. I had Harv identify all the passengers who came in. I wasn't sure what I'd do if another Cleveland passenger arrived. I figured I'd deal with it if it came up. There are times in life, many more than most of us realize, when in order to be successful, we have to be lucky. This was one of those moments. My fate was coming down to the luck of the draw that not enough people from Cleveland would show up at this time. Time passed without any other Joe or Jane Cleveland showing up.
Mr. Zack, what do we do when we get to New Cleveland? I'm sure it's a lovely town, but it's actually farther from Frisco than here.
I'll worry about that when I get there. There'll be less police and military around. It should be easier to get back to Frisco from any place that isn't here. Harv, can you reprogram a teleporter?
Can you tie your shoes?
I assume that's a yes.
You won't steal a car, but you'd have me reprogram a teleporter.
Harv wouldn't understand, so I didn't bother explaining. I believe a car is a part of a person. Therefore, stealing or even borrowing their car is like taking a little piece of their soul. Sure, most cars are alike these days, so it may not be a very big piece of their soul, but it's still enough to bug me. A car is personal. A teleporter ride is not.
The people will just take a little extra trip to New Frisco. Who could complain about spending time in Frisco?
Even the aliens preferred Frisco. They may have landed in Cleveland, but they established their first embassy in New Frisco. Today, not many aliens actually come to Earth. Most aliens think we smell funky. But if you are to see one, chances are it will be in Frisco. Frisco is the cultural and cool capital of the New World.
Surely the police and the Earth Force will be looking closely at any arrivals from here to Frisco.
True, if they're scheduled. I'm betting an unscheduled one will cause enough commotion to allow us to escape.
I walked over and stood on the open teleporter pad. 2 guards were still checking all the other passengers' IDs. A couple of them griped and commented on what a weird day it had been. But they all cooperated, so the check only took a minute or two. Once the guards were satisfied I wasn't on the transporter, they gave the operator the okay signal. The operator pressed a button, the countdown started.
You know teleporting disrupts cloaking. Once it's activated, the guards may see you.
That's okay. It'll be too late to stop me, and they'll be expecting me to arrive in New Cleveland. Before they figure it out, we'll be long gone.
I also won't be able to cloak you for 32 minutes and 52 seconds and 12 nanoseconds after our arrival.
Can you throw a hollow disguise over me?
Yes. I can.
Do it now.
The next thing I knew, I was standing on a port pad. It seemed like the one at the canyon, but it wasn't. It was in a much larger area. This port pad was one of many in the area. Looking up, I saw a big neon hologram that read, "Welcome to New Frisco." I smiled and made a quick exit. I needed to get out of there before anybody put two and two together and came up with me. I exited the building just as a couple of police bots rolled in to try to calm the crowd and figure out what had happened. The Frisco teleporter station was only 10 kilometers from my house. Not an easy walk, but a doable one. I figured exercise would do me good, so I started hoofing it. Sure, I get a lot of exercise when people are trying to kill or maim me, but this was different. This was exercise that allowed me to relax and collect my thoughts. Of course, collecting those thoughts wasn't that comforting. I was up against one of the most powerful minds, if not the most powerful mind, in the world. Natasha was a woman who could kill all around her as an afterthought, or by accident for that matter. As if that wasn't daunting enough, I was also now the most wanted man on the planet. And by wanted, I mean as a criminal. A shoot first, ask questions later criminal. I was being hunted by the government agency who had hired me to track Natasha, and all my usual allies had also been turned against me. To make matters really complicated, according to Natasha, I was being used as a lab rat as much as she was. That part probably pissed me off more than anything. I don't mind bad guys trying to kill me. They're bad guys. It's what they do. But if one of the people I trusted had intentionally inserted Harv into my brain knowing he might be used as a means to control the masses, I wasn't sure how I was going to handle that. Walking toward my house, it occurred to me that I had no idea what I currently looked like.
Harv, what kind of holographic disguise am I wearing?
You are currently a little old Mexican woman named Lila Gomez.
Harv, I don't really need a name for my holographic cover.
Sure you do, Lila. It helps make the cover more believable.
I like that name, Mr. Harv.
First intelligent thing you've ever said.
Thanks!
I continued walking, all the while thinking, what a truly bizarre life I led. Coming within viewing distance of my house, I quickly noticed that there were at least three plainclothes officers on the street. One was posing as a satellite tower worker. Another was going door to door, supposedly looking for his lost dog. The third was just walking up and down the street, pretending to be lost. There was a hover van marked Speedy Web Service parked across the street. I was betting they were also keeping my house under electronic surveillance. I started walking up my sidewalk.
Harv, can you scramble sounds?
Just like you scramble eggs.
Can you make me talk just like a little Mexican lady?
No.
Well then, great. If
Zach, I can't do it just like that, but I can make it so close nobody will notice.
You couldn't just say that?
Sure, I could have.
I strolled up to the door and knocked on it. The door cracked open. Elektra appeared through the crack.
Yes?
I needed to say something so Elektra would know it was me without letting anybody else know it was me. I had to come up with some sort of reference that only I would come up with. Yet it couldn't be so obtuse that Elektra wouldn't figure out it was me.
Yvonne calling!
The door opened much wider. Elektra motioned to me. As soon as she closed the door, Elektra pushed a switch above the door, activating the house's external security system.
Zach? In person?
She hugged me. Of course, to everyone else in the room, it looked like she was hugging a little Mexican woman.
The whole world is after you.
It's the disguise.
What happened?
No idea. That Natasha lady just put some sort of whammy on me, or everybody else. Underneath, I'm still the same lovable Zach I've always been.
Liz Laser, Greg the Clown Guy, and Helena had all been watching closely. I was keeping an eye on them. I saw their mouths dropping open. They were confused.
That's gotta be Zach.
One of Liz's eyes started to glow red. By instinct, I popped Gus into my hand and used him to reflect the beams back. One beam hit Liz, taking her out. The other hit Greg the Clown in the midsection, taking him down. I looked at Gus. I was really impressed.
Ay caramba! Watching all those old Star Wars movies really paid off.
Harv appeared.
Hardly. I took control of your hands. The Force has nothing on the latest technology.
Oh.
The hologram around me peeled away. Helena glared at me.
Elektra, call the police immediately.
Mother, no. Zack is being framed.
Helena touched the pea pod she was wearing on her ear. She looked into Elektra's eyes.
You trust this man, Iha?
With all my heart.
Elektra turned to me.
So what happened, Chico?
Carol and I found Natasha at the Grand Canyon.
You mean the new improved Ultra Mega Hyper Mart Grand Canyon?
Like I said, Carol and I found Natasha floating over the Grand Canyon, and we engaged her.
I take it you lost?
I wouldn't say that.
I would. We ran away very fast. If we had tails, they would have been between our legs.
I made a strategic withdrawal. Natasha wiped the floor with us. Well, she could have, but she chose not to. Instead, she decided to send most of the world after me. She either wanted to let them do her dirty work, or she truly didn't want me dead and just wanted to teach me a lesson.
Speaking of Carol, where is she?
I really don't know.
She's coming up the walkway now, and she doesn't look happy.
Does she know I'm in here?
Well, all the undercover police on the street have suddenly packed up and left.
I took that as a yes. Carol wanted to take me down all by herself. She came barreling into the house.
Where is he?
Elektra and Helena each took a step backward, meekly pointing at me, standing between them.
Step back, tia and abuela. I don't want to hurt you in the crossfire.
Elektra and Helena backed away quickly, taking cover behind my sofa. Carol locked her glare on me.
Time to give up, tio.
I shattered into millions of pieces like a jigsaw puzzle.
Oh! Dios! I just wanted to stun him, not shatter him.
I was glad to see my niece didn't really want to kill me. I was even gladder that I had Harv project an image of me in the middle of the room while I stood in stealth mode behind the door. Moving forward quickly, I gave Carol a chop to the back of the neck.
Oh.
Caught totally off guard, she fell to the ground. Everything around me shimmered as Harv took me out of stealth mode. This stealth mode is really handy. Why don't we use it more often?
You really should read your emails from Randy more carefully.
I skim them.
Well, if you skimmed them more carefully, you would know that prolonged exposure to stealth mode may lead to side effects.
Hey, I can handle...
Impotence.
Oh.
Randy hasn't really tested it on humans. It's extra tough to get volunteers for those types of experiments, though he has computer simulated it, and the results tend to support this conclusion.
Let's try to limit our use of stealth mode from now on. By now, Elektra and Helena were already tending to Carol. I didn't hit her that hard.
I know. She'll be fine.
Helena stood up and walked over to me. I didn't know what to expect here. I was the most wanted man on the planet, who had also just taken out her bodyguards and her niece.
So, Zachary, what's the next step?
I'm going to pay another visit to Randy. I've got some questions that only he can answer.
What can we do?
Bring Carol around and try to convince her I'm not public enemy numero uno. If I'm going to stop Natasha, I'm going to need her. I walked up to Elektra and gave her a kiss. Wish me luck.
Good luck.
Man, are we ever going to need it.
Since Carol had psionically removed the police watching me, I was able to at least borrow Elektra's car to drive to Randy's. I still couldn't be myself, since the police or their cameras could be anywhere. So I picked a new holo disguise. I told Harv I wanted a plumber's disguise. Nobody would question a plumber making a house call. Harv, to his credit, went all out with the disguise. I was a good half meter shorter, so much shorter, it was obvious, even though I was sitting. I was dressed in blue jeans with suspenders and a red top, complete with a little red cap and white gloves. My normally Roman nose was now rounded, with a big cheesy mustache underneath. I didn't look anything like the ruggedly handsome, slightly graying PI that I am.
Hey, and that's the job!
I figured you'd appreciate the look.
I don't get it!
You're lucky.
We pulled up next to Randy's lab. I looked around. There didn't appear to be a police presence. I didn't know if I should take that as a good sign or an especially bad sign. I decided to be optimistic. I got out of the car and started walking toward the door.
Harv, I'm gonna need an old-fashioned monkey wrench. A big one.
Is this phallic?
Just do it, Harv.
I was carrying a big holographic monkey wrench. The weird thing was, even though I knew the wrench wasn't really there, I could still feel its weight in my hand.
I'm making your brain think it's actually carrying the wrench.
Why?
Realism, Zach, realism. It helps you sell the disguise. I didn't go through all this trouble to have you blow your cover with a poor performance.
Ignoring Harv, I walked up and knocked on the door. Randy's holographic image appeared on the door.
Yes?
I showed the image, the big monkey wrench.
Hello, sir. I'm Zario from Zario Brothers Plumbing. I understand you have a leak.
Sorry, I don't. Even if I did, I would fix it myself. Plumbing is like a hobby to me. I find it relaxing. Actually, it's more like a passion. A relaxing passion. Yes, that's it.
I held the wrench up again so the image could see it.
I understand you are a collector of old tools. Perhaps we could make some sort of deal, huh?
Come in. Come in.
I smiled and entered. Randy had been in the back part of the lab, but came rushing up to meet me. I knew of his love for tools and had played to it.
I haven't seen a classic monkey wrench in decades. Can I touch it?
Ooh. I grabbed Randy and quickly pulled him toward the outside door.
Where are we going?
I have more tools just like this in the trunk.
Oh, mega cool. This is so exciting.
Randy looked at the car.
Doesn't look like a plumber's vehicle.
My brother has the business car. I'm using my wife's.
Oh.
For a smart guy, Randy could be a real sucker sometimes, which in this case was a good thing. We reached the car.
Can I hold that wrench?
I grabbed him and threw him against the car.
A simple no would have been sufficient.
Listen, buddy, we have to talk.
You know, I've always had the utmost respect for the working man. But if you don't release me, I'm afraid I will have to call my security. Now, can I hold that wrench or not?
Harv, remove the hologram.
Zach!
Smart man.
Zach, what are you doing here? I'm fighting every urge I have to call the police. Do you know you're the most wanted man on the planet right now?
Are you using me as a guinea pig?
Well, yes, of course. I've always been quite open about you and Harv.
Does Harv have more potentially nefarious uses? Well?
Zach, everything can be misused. I saw an old HV show once where a guy used a pen to kill somebody. Does that make a pen a nefarious weapon?
Was Harv a test model for devices you wanted to stick in everybody's brains?
No, of course not.
Really?
That wasn't ever my intent. I really designed Harv to be a completely useful, totally interactive interface and assistant.
Did the military fund Harv?
Define fund.
Give you credits that you used to design and build him?
Well, Earth Force gives me credits for many of my projects. Yes, so Harv was probably one of them, but they swore to me that it's all purely for humanitarian reasons.
Randy, you had to suspect that there was something more afoot.
My credo has always been don't look a gift investor in the morals. I invent things for the greater good. I can't be responsible if people pervert or misuse my ideas. Don't go raising your eyebrows to me, Zach. Until now, you've never questioned any of this. You've been perfectly happy to test drive whatever I gave you. All you cared about was how it helped you get the job done.
Yeah, well, my job is saving the world.
And mine is improving the world. Face it, Zach, you're as guilty as I am. Why'd you do that?
Because I'm pissed at both of us, and I thought it'd be silly to stomp on my own foot.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense. The really strange thing is, I no longer have the urge to turn you over to the police.
Well, at least something was going right.
Uh-oh, Zach. Randy's security is onto us.
So, I've dealt with the security before. I'll do it again.
This is different.
Why?
Because I'm not some bloody bot.
Randy pointed toward the accent.
Zach? I'd like you to meet my new personal bodyguard, Eleanor Ash.
I turned to see a shapely, auburn-haired woman standing next to me. I came to and looked around. First thing I noticed was that I was in a chair in Randy's lab. The second thing I noticed was Randy in the chair next to me. Trying to move, I then noticed my arms were tied to the chair arms and my legs to the chair legs by old-fashioned rope. I probably should have noticed this sooner, but I was a bit groggy from the punch. Next, I noticed that Randy was also roped into his chair. Not sure why a high-tech man like Randy had so much low-tech rope around. I figured it was best not to ponder over that one at all. Finally, I noticed Eleanor hovering over both of us. Since she was dressed in a tight-fitting leather catsuit, I really should have noticed her sooner.
Ah, nice to see you're awake.
I'm awake too.
I turned as far as I could toward Randy.
Isn't she your bodyguard?
Yep, I got tired of just bots. Science can be so lonely so often, so I hired Eleanor. She's hot and deadly.
Yeah, it's quite the combo. I run into it a lot in my line of work, making an already dangerous woman even more so. I guess that's why it worked so well. Eleanor strutted toward us.
I used to work exclusively for rock stars and politicians, but now I've moved to the geek sector. They may not shower as much, but the work is less taxing. And I love playing with gadgets. Of course, it also pays less. Hence the reason I'm so anxious to collect the 10 million credit award for Zack.
Eleanor, Zack's not really a wanted man. Well, he is, but he shouldn't be. He's innocent.
They all say that.
True, but in Zack's case, he's not lying, at least not about this. Some mega super powerful Psy has zapped everybody's minds to think Zack is a bad guy.
Oh, please, that old story.
So, Randy, you see me as me now?
Yes. The moment after you stomped on my foot, I knew the truth.
That had to be the key. Pain had to break Natasha's hold, at least in this case when she needed to broadcast to so many. I had to tell Harv to relay the information to Elektra so she could pull Carol back to our side.
I've already told Elektra. Carol is on her way over.
Can Carol take Eleanor?
That's the least of your worries right now.
I so did not like the sound of that. I hesitated, figuring that maybe if I didn't ask Harv about the bad news wouldn't happen. Desperate, I know.
Zack, not asking is not going to make it not happen.
I think you need to be penalized for use of the triple negative.
Delaying me isn't going to delay it either.
Okay, what's going down?
Wait for it.
I hate it when he does that. Tua came crashing down through the ceiling. Oh yeah, this was just what I didn't need then. Being tied up while a mad Omega Superwoman working for the government shows up, thinking I'm public enemy number one. Oh, hi Tua. Nice to see you again.
Shut it or lose it.
Tua patted Eleanor on the back.
Excellent job, citizen. We will have 10 million credits forwarded to your account.
Thank you.
Carol and Elektra are on their way.
I was less than thrilled to have Carol and Elektra messing with these two super babes, but if I was going to have any chance, they were my only chance. I had an idea to give my ladies a better chance.
I got a question. Is that 10 million tax-free?
No, of course not.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Because the government needs its share too. We provide a lot for the people. It's not cheap, so every citizen has to pay their fair share.
Oh, please, Tua. We're all adults here. We know the government can do whatever it wants when it wants and find a way to justify it. So you could easily make Eleanor's bounty tax-free.
I agree.
I'm just a small representative of the government.
But you can still do whatever you want.
Well, maybe. But everybody can't do that, or it would be anarchy. We can't have that.
Eleanor grabbed Tua by the shoulder, twisting her toward her.
I deserve just as much as you do.
No, you don't. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and righting wrongs. Plus, I've spent the last year in the public sector. I deserve a lot.
It was hard to believe that my ploy had worked. I might not have had them fighting yet, but they were distracted. Hopefully, that would be enough to give Carol and Elektra a one-up. At least, long enough to make Tua realize I wasn't the bad guy here. Turning toward the explosion, we saw Carol and Elektra entering the far end of the lab through the wall. Carol's hair was standing on end, alive with energy. She got that way when she was really channeling power. Elektra was wrapped from head to toe in tight-fitting battle armor. It looked like it was made out of leather, but it was nano-enforced, making it a lot stronger than any natural metal. She was also wielding a heavy-duty energy rifle.
Oh, this has the makings of a great brawl! Way better than anything I get on credit for view. I just hope either they or my insurance pays for the damages.
Elektra opened fire, hitting both the distracted Eleanor and Tua with powerful blasts of energy, knocking them both to the ground. Eleanor was out for the count. Tua, though, wouldn't be put down that easily. She was already pushing herself up off the ground. Carol decided to help her up by telekinetically flinging her into the ceiling. Carol mentally locked onto Tua, drilling her to the floor. Elektra and Carol ran toward Randy and me. Tua just lay there for a nano.
Okay, now I'm pissed.
Carol and Elektra each took a step backward. Elektra pointed her weapon at Tua. Carol took a ready stance.
The pain should have caused Tua to realize I'm not the real enemy here.
Oh, it did. But I'm still going to put some hurt on somebody.
Quick, cut me free.
Elektra pulled a knife from her boot. Just another reason why I love her. She cut the ropes from my arms and my legs, all the while never taking one eye off the slowly rising Tua. Tua stood up. Carol and Elektra had hit Tua with all the force they had, yet it still hadn't been enough to stop her. You couldn't beat Tua by force. You needed to outthink her. I noticed that Carol was still wearing the Harv-enhanced headband. That gave me an idea.
Carol, we can't outpower Tua, but she's not as confident as she seems. You have to convince her she's weak.
Sure. I'll try.
Tua zoomed past me at Carol and Elektra. She yanked the gun away from Elektra and broke it over her knee.
True warriors don't need weapons.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Ay, Dios!
Electra smacked Tua dead in the nose with a left jab. Tua flicked Electra on the nose with her index finger, knocking her out. Tua turned her attention to Carol, who was channeling all her mental energy.
Now for you, little girl.
You are too weak to take me on.
No, I'm not.
You are weak.
You're going to feel so much pain.
You are weak.
Harv, you've got to increase the power to Carol.
But it'll overload the reverse neutralizer.
It's our only chance.
You are weak.
I don't like this feeling.
Ugh.
Carol collapsed to the ground. She was out. The good news was that Tua was confused. Springing up from the chair, I headed toward Tua. I don't believe in hitting ladies, but I've dealt with Tua enough to know she's not much of a lady. I tapped her on the shoulder, she turned toward me, and I hit her with a Harv-enhanced uppercut right to the chin. Her head rocked back. I hit her right between the eyes with a left, and it felt way better than it should have. I turned toward Randy. With all the excitement, he'd fainted. Harv appeared and looked over the room.
Wow, not often you're the only one left standing in the room.
Huh. Well, Harv was right. Usually I was the one taking the lumps. Maybe that meant that this case was finally turning around.